Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have an amazing guest, but first, let's hear it from our sponsor. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting professionals specialize in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom nettings for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, scoreboards, overhead netting, barrier netting, sideline netting, golf course netting, and much more. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals continues to provide quality products and services to many recreational, high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, courses, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have Jody Gill, past STMA president, and Jody, I'd say you're retired now at the sports turf industry, except for your new role that you're in now, having some fun, right?
Yeah, I hate the word retired, you know, just another old guy out there, you know, so probably not important in the big picture when you have your guests on. But you had Tom Burns on. I think he might be older than me, so it's okay. I'm in good shape now.
Yeah, so give everybody an introduction of yourself and your background, where you live.
Yeah, sure. I'm in Lee's Summit, Missouri. That's right on the Kansas-Missouri line. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Kansas City is on both Kansas and Missouri, although there's a Kansas City, Missouri, and there's a Kansas City, Kansas. So we want to make it as confusing as possible when people come here. But it's a great place to live, great place to raise a family. My wife is retired with me also. We retired January 1st of this year, and we are just having a ball. I mean, but I should say I hate the word retirement. We choose to call it phase two. Retirement to me is, you know, there's your rocking chair. Go sit on the front porch for the rest of your life. And that's not me. We've got plenty to do and plenty of fun to have. And, you know, we're working on starting up a business. We should be rolling it out this fall. So we're having a lot of fun, actually. My kids are grown and gone. I have a daughter in Minneapolis. She works for Delta Airlines, which is awesome. She's just got her pilot's license, so it's something that we kind of have in the family. My mom was a pilot. I'm a pilot. She's a pilot, so it's something that we're very proud of. I have stepdaughter Caroline, stepson Curtis. Caroline's 24, Curtis is 20. He's an auto mechanic now, and he's just loving getting his hands dirty. So I'm excited for him. I have two golden retrievers and live on a lake. So twice a day, we have to take them down to swim. So, you know,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Life is good.
That's right. That's right. Well, give everybody a kind of a background, your turf career.
Sure. It's kind of weird, but it's kind of fun. So both my parents were coaches. Mom was a coach. Dad was a coach. Dad was a Division I football coach for most of his life, an offensive coordinator. I mean, he was at UTEP and New Mexico State, the University of Tulsa. I could go on and on. I lived in 17 different houses before I got to high school because Division I offensive coordinators don't last long. If they're losing, they get fired. If they're winning, they quit and move up. So it's a constant change, kind of like being a military brat, I guess. But it was fun because, you know, being able to be on the sidelines when I was a kid at a lot of those games was awesome. To be able to say that I played on the high jump mats in a storage room in the Sun Bowl in El Paso. You know, I think back on it now, and I took it for granted back then, but now I think I was the luckiest kid in the world. You know, and so I grew up around athletics and athletic fields, obviously. My mom was a basketball coach, softball coach, swimming. She taught and coached everything. It was kind of interesting. They both went to Baylor University in Waco, graduated from there. Dad played football and baseball. Mom was really a great athlete, but she could not play NCAA sports because women weren't allowed to play NCAA sports in the late 50s. She could only play intramural sports. So I'm so thankful that things have changed over the years. As a matter of fact, she retired from Johnson County Community College, where she coached all sports. And the highlight of her career was she was the manager of the U.S. Olympic basketball team that won the gold medal in Seoul, Korea in 1988. So she was with that Olympic team through all the various games they go through until they get to the Olympics. So that was kind of the pinnacle for her after going through college, where she wasn't allowed to play sports. So anyway, growing up around football, around fields, I loved mowing lawns as a kid. So I'd mow neighborhood lawns and then discovered, you know, as you know, what, 10, 12, they could pay me to mow grass. So I loved it. You know, my parents let me mow the grass, you know, not made me mow the grass, but let me mow the grass. And I would watch games on TV or be with dad at a, you know, at a game and see the dark light patterns on football fields. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. When I discovered how to do that with a lawn boy mower, well, my life changed. I thought that was the coolest thing. And then, so, you know, people would hire me, you know, just, you know, kid in the neighborhood, 10 bucks, whatever, be able to stripe their lawns with a mower. So that got me. And then my dad actually finished his career with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so when I was in junior high, I would spend my summers at Chiefs camp at William Jewell College in Liberty, Missouri, summer training camp. So I was what they call a pup, because the equipment manager, Bobby Yarbrough, was nicknamed the Yard Dog. So he was in charge of all the equipment for the team. And so we were his pups. So that's where I met George Toma. Obviously, he was running the sports fields for training camp there. My dad told him that I loved to mow grass and that I'd be out there in the summertime. And I never got to be on his crew because I was too young, just remained a pup. But, you know, I go back to, I think about being a pup at Chiefs camp. And, you know, again, back then I took it for granted. But now I look back and, you know, I'm living with and eating with and working with guys like Ed Podolak and Jack Rudney and Jan Stenerud, a Hall of Fame kicker, and Emmett Thomas, you know, a great cornerback. And being able to be with the team, when I was in junior high school. And funny story, Jan Stenerud, a Hall of Fame kicker, he would, back then there was no fancy tee that holds the ball. You know, the kickers now, they're off by themselves and they have this tee that holds the ball and they could just kick it. Well, back then he had to grab a pup, you know, hey, come hold the ball for me. And they knew my name because it was easy to say, you know, last name Gil, said, hey, Gil, come hold the ball. So, you know, I'm thinking I knew who Jan Stenerud was, you know, and now that I look back at it, I kind of think the Field of Dreams movie where Kevin Costner's on the mound, he says, I'm pitching to, you know, the great Joe, I forgot his name, but the great, you know, the great batter. So I think back on that and I think, okay, I'm holding the ball for the great Jan Stenerud. And so, I don't really know what I'm doing. He kind of described what to do. So I'm there, I'm on the ground, I'm holding the ball and I see his foot coming through and I'm so excited. His foot swings through. I can feel the air and I can hear the ball get kicked. And then the pain seared through my arm. And I realized that I had just broken my finger because I didn't really hold the ball right. So I couldn't tell anybody, and I couldn't stop holding for Jan Stenerud. So I continued through, you know, holding, you know, intense pain. Luckily, a trainer came by later and said, "That looks bad. Here's some ice." So that's my training camp story. But anyway, that's where I met George Thoma. And so George was the inspiration, you know, for me to get into sports turf, because it's at Chiefs training camp where I realized that this is something you could do. This could be a career. They're paying him to mow, to take care of those fields. You know, at the time, all I saw was mowing. Not as much the maintenance that went on. So anyway, you know, it got older, and that was a volunteer job. It wasn't paid. So as I went on into high school, started my mom was coaching softball for, you know, the local community college, and they played their games at a fast pitch softball complex. I went to work at JCGA, at the girls fast pitch softball complex, when I was in high school. And my buddy and I had a lawn business. You know, we were mowing 60 lawns a week, and just, you know, at the time we were making money hand over fist and having a ball doing what we love to do. But I really enjoyed working at the fast pitch softball complex. So then went on to school and went to Johnson County Community College there. And while I was going to school there, I was working as a, you know, on the grounds crew there. And then later actually became a full-time job working on the taking care of the athletic fields there at the community college. And so, you know, towards the end of my time there, they said, "Hey, we need to build some softball fields. We think you could probably do it." So they had basically a flat patch of ground. And so I said, "Yep, we can do it. Let's build some softball fields." And I just fell in love with athletic field construction at that time. And then, I was working at JCJ before, and they were going to build a new complex. So they contacted me to build their new 8-field softball complex. But the timetable was really off. There was no irrigation, and there was not going to be any sod. We finished it in the wintertime, had to have grass growing in April, May, June. We had a national tournament that was going to be in August. Oh, and we also had to have a summer season there. So I got with George Thoma, and he said, "Hey, I think you need to pre-germinate some ryegrass." Weather was kind of funky. So, you know, we bought 30, 55 gallon drums, and we actually pre-germinated ryegrass for that complex. And I think that success on that complex was probably the catalyst, you know, to kind of kick me into the industry. And later I became the general manager of that complex, which involved, you know, scheduling leagues and managing the whole facility. But I really missed construction, and, you know, it was, complex was done. We weren't going to expand it anymore. We did expand it from 8 to 12 and built a basketball facility. But then that was it, as far as we could go. And then, so Blue Valley School District called, and they had a little issue. They built a baseball softball field, you know, a stadium complex that they decided, some architect decided they needed to do some value engineering. And anybody in construction knows that value engineering means cheapen it. Yeah. Well, in this case, value engineering meant, "Hey, let's make it a flat field." Well, yeah, we can't afford drainage. Sunken dugouts would be really cool, but, you know, a drainage system in that sunken dugout is probably pretty expensive. We probably can't afford that. So I'm serious, man. They built a flat field with no drainage, sunken dugouts with no drains. So obviously they never played a game there. And it got tied up in litigation. So anyway, that was my first job, to rebuild this highly controversial baseball softball complex. And so it was decided at the time too that we would install Bermuda grass. And this is in 1996. And, you know, in Kansas City, Bermuda grass was, you know, that was a joke. That was, they said, "Well, that'll never fly. You can't grow Bermuda grass in Kansas City. Have you lost your mind?" So I think they called me because everyone else turned them down. And I was ready for a challenge. So they literally were through the help of Chuck Dixon. And I'm pretty sure George Thoma was involved as a consultant with the Blue Valley School District. And so George told them, "Hey, Jody Gill would probably be a pretty good candidate. So they did talk to me and they hired me to be their grounds coordinator. And they were actually developing a 10 acre quick stand Bermuda grass turf farm. So it was my job to decide, well, how are we going to get all that Bermuda grass from this turf farm onto these two, this baseball softball field that was being rebuilt correctly. So that was my, my first, introduction. And I think that's really what was a real catalyst for me. You know, from there, I was giving presentations on growing Bermuda grass in Kansas and really got involved with STMA at that time. And so I've been with Blue Valley Schools for the last 25 years and loved every minute of it. But it was just time to step aside and let some others take over so I could have some more fun with my wife. So that's a long story, but pretty thorough.
Oh, very thorough. And you're past STMA national president, correct?
Yes. So I was president in 2019. Matter of fact, I give Jimmy Simpson a really hard time sometimes because, you know, we had a great conference in West Palm Beach. And so that was my president year to preside over the West Palm Beach conference. And then at that conference, that's where Jimmy takes the reins and he becomes president. And obviously 2020 kind of sucked. And so I give Jimmy a hard time. I said, Jimmy, I handed it to you in great shape. You took over and went to hell in a handbasket. So, but seriously, I am so thankful that Jimmy Simpson was president in 2020. And not for the reason you would think. I mean, yeah, no, nobody would want that, but he was the right guy at the right time. And he made a huge difference for STMA. I was still on the board in 2020 as the immediate past president. But Chris, I'm telling you, things we had to deal with knowing that we were likely not going to have a conference in 2021, those were some tough times. But we were blessed by the fact that we had some past boards who were very forward thinking. And they planned ahead for such an event because you have to understand that STMA's primary source of revenue is that conference. If we don't have a conference, that is a significant loss in annual revenue for the STMA. And the virtual conference that was put on, while I think it was outstanding, it was not a revenue generator for STMA. So we were fortunate that past boards had the foresight to plan ahead and have some investments in place so that we could have a rainy day fund because, you know, we've got full-time employees with STMA and we take it very seriously. We've got to watch out for them and take care of them. So I'm so thankful that we had the financial well-being to take care of them and that we had a president like Jimmy Simpson at the helm during the most, in my opinion, the most difficult year of STMA's history.
Absolutely. It was definitely a tough year. I've heard many, many stories. You know how there was a lot of adversity to be faced. So your current role now, what are you doing now? This is what this is super cool.
I'm sitting on a lawn chair on a front porch watching time pass. I'm kidding. So well, what you're talking about is painting NASCAR logos. And I mean, that's something I've been doing for quite a while. I actually do this with Kenny Bogner. And so Kenny Bogner is somebody that I hope that the sports turf industry will get to know. Kenny and Justin Bogner, father-son team, they are, well, let me put it this way. If you're not buying a world-class stencil, then Kenny Bogner and Justin Bogner made it. They make the stencils for everyone else, for Pioneer, for everyone else except World Class. So you got two major stencil, you know, producers, and Kenny makes the rest of them. Kenny's a brilliant graphic artist, so he does all the design work. And I'm fortunate to be able to work with those guys because not only am I working with the graphic artist, but also the stencil maker. And he's out in the field painting. So he's probably the only one in the industry who's doing it all. Here's an interesting story too. So Justin, his son, and I, you know, we used to go do Richmond together. And there was one year when I don't know, it was a Chase logo, you know, championship, the Chase at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So it was the NASCAR Sprint Cup, and at the bottom it says, you know, race to the Chase, because that was the, you know, the race in race. So the pattern never showed up. The pattern that Kenny makes never showed up from the previous track. You know, they ship them from track to track to track. So, you know, I'm just in full blown panic. I'm thinking, okay, the race is Saturday. It's Wednesday. We still don't have a pattern. You know, we've got all the other patterns done. So Justin, who's also a graphic designer and also works with his dad to make these patterns, says, oh, don't worry about it, Jody. I'm just going to lay it out. I thought, lay that out? So he said, yeah, come on, help me. So he actually makes a grid on the ground and grids this thing out, you know, based on, you know, a grid that he has on paper. And it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen to actually grid that very difficult pattern, lay it out, paint it. And it was done within about 3 hours without a stencil. So those are the kinds of things these guys are capable of. So I love working with them.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Well, I have another. We're going to get back to some of that. Who got you into turf? Who was your mentor? Would you say your dad initially, and then George Tomer, from what you said earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. George Tomer sparked my interest for sure. I think I would say George was the inspiration. And I think he did some behind the scenes work along the way to make it happen. And, you know, and I remember talking to him a long time ago, and I asked him, because I always thought, okay, I would love to be a major league groundskeeper or NFL groundskeeper. And he actually talked me out of it. And he said, you know what, there's so many opportunities at other levels where you can do what you love and still have a life. And he was right. And I'm not saying that you know, our sports turf managers at the highest levels don't have a life, but it is difficult. I mean, you know, it's your time is spent at work, and they work some very long hours. So I appreciate that from the standpoint of being able to be home more and raise a family and still love what I do. You know, working for a school district, it's certainly challenging at times, but but it wasn't a 60 hour a week job most of the time. You know, it was most of the time it was a 40 to 45 hours. So I appreciate that advice from him. So yeah, for sure, George. But as far as STMA, I mean, getting into the STMA was great for me, and I loved every minute of it. And matter of fact, I was first on the board in, I think it was 2007. So that's kind of a funny story. We were at the San Antonio 2007 for the conference. And so I wasn't going to be on the board until the business meeting. You know, that's where they make it official and make the transitions. And so that's the year. And a lot of the listeners are going to remember the ice storm in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. It was devastating. I mean, there was nobody could get in. We had members who were stuck in Dallas because they couldn't land in San Antonio. They had to land in Dallas. You know, and the Avis rent-a-car would not rent them cars because cars were crashing on the way to San Antonio. So they're stuck in Dallas and can't even come down. So I came in early, luckily, but I remember, I think it was Nora Dunaway who caught me at the front door as I was coming in. And she said, Jody, it's not good. I said, Nora, I'm not on the board. She said, yes, you are. You are now. So I was introduced to board service in the middle of chaos, you know, trying to put together a conference that was on the verge of falling apart because Mother Nature said she had another plan. But, you know, everything went great. And I think I even gave a presentation. We always had canned presentations just in case the speaker can't show up. So that was my first introduction into board service. But, you know, I got to credit Abby McNeil And there are a few others who were instrumental in getting me involved in STMA and encouraging me to participate. So, you know, and if I have a message today, it would be hopefully to encourage, you know, people like you and other members to get involved and consider board service. You know, it's kind of funny story. I remember it, I think it was in 2000. I think the conference was in St. Louis, and Mike Trigg and Abby McNeil actually wanted me to come up and give a presentation there. And I think it was the STMA conference. I'm not sure, because at the time, you know, I was new to STMA. And so I remember Mike Trigg and Abby were there, gave the presentation, and it was almost like a tryout, you know, like, let's see how he can do. It was on Bermuda grass and, you know, Bermuda grass in the transition zone. So, you know, those are the people, and serving on the board with people like Mike Andreessen, you know, they're just inspirational people who really encourage us, you know, the younger folks to get involved and participate. But you know, an STMA too, to be able to go to a conference and you know, just a high school guy from the Midwest to be able to interact with you know, people from the major leagues and the NFL, and they treat you like you're important. And that was the coolest thing for me. I said, okay, I've got to be involved in STMA forever. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm a member as well. Our local chapter is really very active, and you know, it's definitely been very rewarding to me. So I'm gonna move to another question. If you had a warning label, what would yours be?
Oh yeah, you ask people this, don't you? I started thinking about it and then I stopped, but it would be, it would have to be the danger, and probably obsessive curiosity enclosed. I ask way too many questions. It drives my wife crazy, because, you know, there's something will come up and I'll ask her a question. She'll say, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I say, I know, but I have to know the answer. So my kids and I always joke that I ask too many questions. If we're out on a tour or at an event, you know, I ask too many questions, but I just, you know, I want to know.
Yeah, that's right. You can't, I mean, you'll never know sometimes if you don't ask.
Right.
When you were in the school district, what are some, you know, towards, you know, the latter part of your career, what were some challenges that you faced? You know, what would you say your main challenges were?
The latter part of my career, which would be the last few years, was by far manpower. And I guess since I'm retired, my filter was left at the office, so I can probably say whatever I want. I don't want to be negative of my employer, because they were good to me for a long time. But, you know, they didn't pay very well. And so that put us in a really tough position, trying to fill positions, and dealing with public entities. You're dealing with a lot of people, and part of my job, it wasn't just athletic fields. I you know, I dealt with everything outside, pretty much. One of your guests a while back said, my job is everything outside, and yeah, he's right. So, you know, when you're a school district and you're a grounds coordinator or manager, everything outside is your problem, including property line issues. So, you know, I had 40 school buildings on 1600 acres. So there were, you know, hundreds of homeowners along the property line. So for example, the back of the building that, you know, we weren't as concerned about, but those homeowners were very concerned, because they had to see it every day. You know, our concern was the front of the building or the athletic facility on each building. So that was my job, to deal with those people and get those calls. And you know, obviously you had people who their backyard backed up to the back of the building, and they expected it to look like Disneyland, you know, like the front of the building. And there was no way that was going to happen. So that was a really difficult part of the job. You know, budget cuts were a factor. But definitely dealing with the lack of labor. You know, we got to the point we brought in temporary services, and we had some good luck with temporary employees, but for the most part, it was that was a challenge as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the manpower thing I think is affecting everybody pretty hard now as well. What are some passions outside of turf?
Oh, I love being home. Like I said, the lake is right there, and love to take the dog swimming. My wife and I go every morning. Travel, we've got a trip coming up. We're renting a houseboat up in Rainy Lake in Canada. We're going next week, and all the kids are going to go. So things like that. We just love to travel and go have fun. I love flying. I'm a pilot. My daughter's a pilot, and actually she's progressing further. She works for Delta Airlines as a flight attendant. But she says people are so crazy in the cabin. She wants to be behind that locked door and actually fly that plane. So she's on that path to make that happen. And so it's been so much fun to work with her. So I don't know if anybody knows, you might have some pilots out there, but as you progress from one step to another, you have to go through what's called a check ride. I mean, it's kind of like when you get your driver's license when you're a kid and you have to, go out and you do a road test. Well, this is like a driver's license road test on steroids. You're going up with what's called a DPE or a designated pilot examiner from the FAA, and they put you through the ringer. They put you on the ground. You go through testing and you got to get all the questions right. And then you go up and fly them. And you got to do everything right. So my daughter's going through multiple processes. So for every step she goes through, she's got a check ride. So she finished her private pilot check ride, her IFR check ride. She's got her commercial check ride coming up. So, So I tend to go up there and help her with that. And so one thing great about being a Delta parent is I can fly for free. So, she'll call and say, "Dad, I need you up here. Go to the airport, get on flight 2961. There are 32 open seats." So I'm there within a couple hours up in Minneapolis. And so we'll go out and fly, and I tend to bring her anxiety down a bit. And so that's kind of a passion that we share. And, and after she got her license, we took my mom up. So the three of us went up, as licensed pilots. And that's when I have fun. Locally, we take kids up, we'll go and introduce them to aviation. And have a lot of fun with that. And that's one thing that Jimmy keeps giving me a hard time. So I think at Savannah, we may rent a plane and go fly it because he loves flying as well. So I think once he's done on the board, we'll go up and have some fun.
Yeah, my dad's a retired air traffic controller. So I've been around them. I've been around planes. Not in that same capacity, but I've had some opportunities to fly and be able to ride with some guys. So I'm familiar.
He chose a tough career.
Yeah, he retired probably was a freshman or sophomore in college. Yeah. Just been about 10 years ago.
There's some great air traffic controllers, and there are some that are just terrible. A real pain in the neck. So I'm assuming he was one of the great ones.
Yeah, he did his whole career. So he really enjoyed it, But yeah, that's awesome. And the flying thing, and it's just nothing like being up there, I love to fly.
Let's take us a break and hear from our sponsor. This segment is brought to you by MVP Genetics. Mountain View Performance Genetics is an exciting new division of Mountain View Seeds that will focus on vegetative warm season cultivars. They are breaking barriers between grass seed and sod research, development, and direct licensing to sod producers on warm season cultivars for sports turf, golf, and landscape applications. Look for their current innovations like their newest Elite Bermuda Grass, Iron Cutter, as well as coming attractions like their golf and landscape Zoysia, tentatively set for release in 2022. Contact them today to learn more. Contact Adam at 971-718-4525.
Well, I have a, here's a question. What's the best turf grass advice you've ever been given? You said something earlier that was really good advice, but you can touch on that again or can think of something else too.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably along the lines of never give up, keep trying, experiment, you know, do what you have to do. If, you know, if you've got to grow in a field in a couple of months, it's easy to say, you know what? No, I can't do that. But, you know, and there are some things we need to say no to, but if it's even remotely possible and you can find a way and you think you have the ability, man, do it. You know, what do you have to lose? I think if you set expectations up front, you know, and say, hey, I'm going to try, but it's possible that it might not work. And, but, you know, that's how we learn. That's how we learn things in the industry and know what works and what doesn't. So, you know, just never give up.
Yeah. You've touched on the STMA some, but I want to know how you feel about the importance of continuing education in the turf industry and joining these organizations.
Yeah, it's an industry that's changing so fast. You know, you think of industries that change so fast, and you think, well, IT, you know, anything computer related, anything network related. Well, that's us. You know, IT is taking us, is important to us right now. I mean, look, we got robots out there striping. We got autonomous mowers out there in the golf industry that are headed our way. You know, at Blue Valley, we were using GPS to lay out fields because it was the greatest tool ever and saved us so much time. You know, I think you've got to embrace the new technology. I know when autonomous mowers and these robots came along, a lot of us were afraid of it. But, you know, I think it's something we need to not be afraid of. I think we need to understand it. We need to be the first ones to use it because if we decide we don't want to use it, it's just going to run us over. So you've got to embrace it and be a part of it because that technology is not going to stop. They're going to keep developing that technology. And we've got to adapt it to the best possible use in our industry. And I really think it can improve our jobs. I mean, look, we can't find people that want to mow right now. Can you? I don't know. I would not want to sit on a mower for 8 hours a day. Okay. Number one, we don't pay enough, even if we did, but that's not a real exciting job. Maybe autonomous mowers aren't a bad idea. You know, and one thing I kind of had our crew before I retired, I said, let's think about this. I mean, picture the possibility. Let's say we have, you know, one guy, you know, one person who's on a wide area mower. And as he or she is on that wide area mower, there's a couple of screens next to them. And at that school, while you're mowing the wide areas, you've got three or four autonomous robot mowers with you. Okay. You know what? Your value just increased. So instead of a, you know, $13, $14 an hour mower operator, you've got a little bit more of an IT credential. Now you've got multiple mowers out there working with you. Those mowers aren't being paid hourly. You know, that's a capital expense you purchased. And so I see it as a way that we can increase salaries and be more efficient. So it's something, again, the technology is exciting to me. And I think back and I wish this technology would have come 20 years ago, you know, when I was younger and could have really enjoyed it more. You know, before I left Blue Valley, we developed a drone program. So, you know, we use drones for aerial photography and for NDVI photography and for aerial mapping. I mean, we were just having a ball with it. And so I think that all that technology that's out there, we've really got to embrace. And you're not going to get to know this technology without continuing education. You can't just decide one day you're going to do it. You've got to learn about it. You've got to study about it. And, you know, not only, you know, manage how to manage grass and all the basic services we provide in order to grow grass. Obviously, you've got to have some continuing education there, but this all this new technology is going to impact the way we grow grass. And so, again, it's just very important to continue learning. And I think STMA is poised really well to provide that education moving forward.
Absolutely. Our local chapter is amazing with continuing education. Yeah, it's just, I mean, we have a conference in the Carolinas combined, North and South Carolinas in Myrtle Beach, and it has grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. It's a really good time. You know, it's a great.
It is. I was there in 2019, man. That was an amazing experience to be there and be able to speak. Yeah. And you guys have done it right. There's no question.
It's been fun, you know, just, you know, being with those guys and, you know, seeing the stuff that how far they, you know, they've came since the beginning. It's really awesome because they were really getting off the ground when I was like a freshman in college, you know. And so, I mean, it's really been awesome to watch.
It is.
And to be a part of.
I'll bet.
Do you have a funny turf story?
Oh, some people say this is not real funny, but to me it is. I mean, it was kind of a low point when it comes to our labor at Blue Valley in the grounds department. We had a couple of staff members who decided that they needed to smoke some marijuana on the job. And so a couple other staff members said, hey, Jody, you need to be aware of this. And it was really strange that Blue Valley was not doing any drug testing, even pre-hire. I mean, it frustrated me to no end. Why are we not drug testing? I want you to be drug testing. And they wouldn't do it. I don't know why. It's kind of funny though that, you know, later on we bought a bigger truck. So several of us had to get CDLs. So after years of saying, you need to be drug testing, then suddenly the DOT said, well, Jody Gill has to be drug tested. So I got drug tested. Always clean. But anyway, back to the story. So just prior to this, my director had retired. A friend of mine had applied, but I didn't know that he would get the job. So we're dealing with this, you know, pot smoking guys in the, you know, the truck. So, you know, I called in our security and I said, hey, I got to deal with this. You need to help me. I haven't had to deal with this before. So they said, oh, that's an easy one. We're going to bring in the dogs and we'll sniff. So I'm standing there in our ground shop and, you know, the police are there. There's an obvious police presence. And so the dogs are sniffing trucks and sniffing lockers. So here comes my old friend walking into the shop, and he was an employee. He was a construction manager there at the school district. So he pops in and he walks up to me and says, hey, I'm your new boss. What's going on? I said, oh, drug bust. And at the same time, we turned and looked at each other and said, what? So I remember that in my mind when we turned and looked at each other in complete shock, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's just a drug bust. Oh, I'm your new boss. So that was kind of the funny one. And it's a Joe Chick became the director and was definitely the best director I ever had. So it was funny to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, first of all, it's crazy that all that was going on, but you have to kind of do what you got to do in this situation.
Yep, you do.
It's unfortunate.
These were not sports turf employees, by the way. They were just, right. You know, mower operators.
Yeah, we're CDL operators too, so we have to go through, you know, the testing and, you know,
good. Like you that. Should.
Yeah. What's your proudest accomplishment, personal or professional, or either? Or both?
Oh man, there's so many. You know, personally, you know, my kids, my family, happiness. Surviving some 30 years of public service, you know, and having some sense of sanity left. but I would say becoming president of the STMA. I was the first person from the K-12 segment of membership to become president of the STMA after, I don't know what, 30 years. And so that, I would say, was a very proud accomplishment for me. And, you know, what an amazing experience I was to serve with all those people. Again, this kid from the Midwest high school, you know, grounds manager being president of the STMA. I never imagined that would ever happen. So professionally, that was definitely the pinnacle for me.
Yeah. That's I think the most answer I get for the personal part is family, you know, and children. And I've had one guy that got the George Tomo Award, I think. That's not very often you run into people that have been, and it's funny, like the last 10 episodes, I've heard more things about George Toma and people, you know, bringing them up and then you start thinking about it and you get up there and you really start looking at stuff. And so then it leads you to something else and leads you to something else. And you just start doing all this research, and then, which leads me to people like you and Tom, and which, you know, it's been a blessing for me to be able to, you know, to interview and really get to know. So, you know, if somebody was asking me, you know, on a professional level, my proudest accomplishment would be this podcast, just because of what, and I mean, it's not that great. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys sitting around talking, but it's, I mean, I've met more people through this, you know, and so it's been it's been very, very fun, as well as it hasn't seemed so much like work, like a job or anything. So,
and that's, you should be proud of that. I mean, you were bringing our industry into the public view. So I appreciate that you're doing this, and I was really excited to be part of it. And you know, one thing about George Toma, you know, George Toma's made some people mad. Okay. I love George Toma, and I know he's upset some people, but you know what? If I'm still doing this when I'm 90, I guarantee you I'm going to upset some people, because
oh, yeah.
I'm 90. I don't care. So
yeah,
I love that man.
So here comes some good questions here. Your favorite quote or phrase?
Oh gosh. Sitting outside here, there's a squirrel. I harvest your nuts before winter, or no, seriously. One good one that my mom always said that stuck with me is better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And that really satisfies, across the board, is, you know, kind of be prepared. I got to read this one. My wife, we get Life is Good shirts. So we find a Life is Good shirt and we get them for each other. So she got this one I'm wearing, and I just had to put it on. So it says, those who say it cannot be done shouldn't interrupt the people doing it.
Oh, that's good.
I love this one. So I might have to wear this all the time. But, you know, that's so true. It too many people tell you it can't be done. But you know what? It can be done by great people who have a passion to do it, like those in our industry.
Yeah. If you could pick your favorite meal, what would it be?
Oh, chicken marsala, man. We've had chicken marsala at restaurants. We make it at home. I don't know why I'm so addicted to that. The marsala wine sauce, and I've always been a mushroom guy. So I don't care how the potatoes are prepared, but the chicken marsala, you know, smashed flat, you know, and that's gotta be my favorite. Anytime we go travel somewhere, you know, we got to try the chicken marsala and evaluate it wherever we are. So I'm just kind of a mushroom fanatic.
I understand. I'm a big fan of that dish myself. There's a boy that works with us at work. His family has an Italian restaurant, and they have some delicious food in there. And I could, if it wasn't an hour away, I'd probably go there like 3 or 4 times a week. If you wake up tomorrow and you won the lottery, what's the first thing you do? What's your first non-essential purchase?
Oh, how much did I win?
No, 100 million.
100 million? Sweet. Well, my wife might have a different answer, but my answer would be I would go buy twins Cirrus SR-22s, which is a favorite airplane of me and my daughter. Give her one, I'd have one, and we could just, you know, fly wherever we wanted to go. You know, beyond that, my wife's answer would be, you know, let's kind of set up the kids and family so that, you know, they want to give them everything, want them to still, you know, have to earn and appreciate things, but set them up a little bit better for future, you know, future investments, and then find a way to help people build businesses. You know, and I think anytime we can help people to better themselves, however that may be, whether it's helping them build a business or, you know, get a home or whatever, I think that we're all better off. So we would certainly find a way to make that happen. But, you know, I'd have to have the airplane so I could fly around and check on people's businesses. So that would have to be first.
Yeah. You forgot one part. You're a turf guy. To be sure, you're going to build yourself your own sweet turf airstrip.
Well, absolutely. That goes without saying, I mean, in the backyard. Then I'd have a hangar right next to the house. So, yeah, that would be, you know, I would probably want to have a bent grass runway.
Yeah, all those millions of dollars. And they're like, why didn't he pave the runway? They're like, you wouldn't understand.
You wouldn't understand. That's right. It's a turf thing.
Yeah. Well, lastly, what are some words of wisdom that you'd like to share for young and upcoming turf professionals?
Great question. And you know what? I know it's tough. I mean, I hear about the guys and gals in the minor leagues and the struggles that they're going through, and the minor leagues contracted, and it's been tough. But you know, stick with it. I mean, it's still a great game to be a part of, and providing a safe, playable field for athletes is an admirable career. And so I hope that people just don't give up. But we're going to go through a tough couple of years here. You know, we're coming off of financial disasters for a lot of entities. So there's going to be some budget cutbacks. There's going to be probably some salary cutbacks, but we're going to get back on track, and there's going to be a need, because people want their athletics and their recreation, and we've got to be there to provide that. So definitely never give up. I mean, just stick with it and know that things will get better. And, you know, we got some really talented people that are not making as much as they used to. And it really makes me sad to see that, but the cream rises to the top. So stick with it. And those of you who are really doing some amazing work, it will pay off. It will pay off. Stay with it.
It's not going unnoticed, I promise.
Right.
Yeah. Well, man, what's the next NASCAR thing you got to paint?
got Michigan coming up. But we just did the SRX series that you've seen.
Yeah.
So we went up to Stafford Springs, Connecticut, and painted three logos for that. That was a blast. I mean, horrible, rough grass that, you know, they just slide across. There's no maintenance to this grass. It's mostly clover. And so we're trying to paint, you know, high-end logos on this awful, terrible surface. And so, but it was a blast just to be there with those people at that level. And yeah, that series is starting to take off. But we'll have Michigan Speedway coming up, and then Daytona will be after that. And we got Kansas Speedway. So we do all of the NASCAR owned tracks. You know, we don't do Texas or Talladega or any of those.
You don't do SMI tracks.
Don't do the SMI tracks. Not yet. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah. Y'all do Richmond though?
We do Richmond. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to that one in September.
Oh, are you? I'm not doing that one this year. I've been doing that one every year and every, you know, twice a year for the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. But so my wife and I have a trip planned, and I told Kenny, my wife says I can't go to Richmond. So yeah. we're doing a trip and I can't do it. But so yeah, think about me when you're there. That's a fun track. I mean, that is a blast. That's just like a, you know, it's just kind of like a bull ring, you know, it's so loud and you can see everything so close. So you know, you'll have fun. Have you been there before?
Yeah, I've been there before. They're doing the doubleheader though with Xfinity and the Cup Series. So
right, that's pretty right. Cool. Yeah, that will be.
And it's September 11th, you know, so that the big tribute to 9/11 and all that. So
right.
Make pretty cool.
Well, yeah, we've done some really fun tracks. So, my favorites was definitely we did SpongeBob SquarePants at Kansas Speedway several years back. I don't know if you remember that one, but there's the SpongeBob SquarePants 400. That was one of my favorites. Yeah. And we actually did a 750-foot long that was called the Seven Faces of SpongeBob on the backstretch. What was so weird about that is they had all the eyes crossed out like they were dead. And I kept thinking to myself, why are we doing this? You got these race car drivers that are going to see this, and this is a very dangerous sport. So it was quite bizarre, but that was definitely my favorite of all time. I love SpongeBob. We call him Spongy.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I mean, that I'm a take special notice now to when I see that stuff.
Well, I need to get you involved, so I'll holler at you. You know, next time we're over there, maybe you can come over and help us paint some.
Oh, man, I'd love that. That'd be awesome because I do all the painting at where I'm at mostly. Yeah, we don't do a lot of logos. It's all straight lines, but I'm very familiar with the machine and how it works and how that stuff
It
works.
Is fun to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It can be therapeutic at times.
It is. Yeah, I put on the headphones and it's just like the world melts away.
I'm with you. And sometimes it can get really monotonous. on those straight
That's
lines.
One thing nice about having multiple designs to work on.
Oh, yeah, you know, I can imagine.
It doesn't get too monotonous.
That's right. Finished product is so much more aesthetically pleasing than just a straight white line.
Oh, I know. You know, one of my favorite times, you know, back when we had natural grass stadiums at Blue Valley, you know, one of our favorite times was when we finished painting the field, got the borders and the numbers and the logo done, and then we head to the press box. And we all just stand there and just look at it. We still do that at NASCAR tracks. You know, we finish, we head for the spotter stand, and we just look at it, just in awe. And that is probably the most fun to be able to look at it and say, wow, we did that. You know, we're a team, and we did that together.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I was just trying to look up that picture of the SpongeBob thing. It's trying to load, so. Yeah, Kansas is one of my, me and my buddy have sim racing rigs, and Kansas is my best track ever. I've never been there, but that's my best one that I race on.
Well, you got to come out.
Yeah, that'd be a sweet
I'll put you to work.
Track. Yeah.
It's a great track. It really is. It's fun.
Yeah, man. That's pretty cool. Well, it's been fun, man. I've enjoyed this. This has been.
I have too.
Yeah, this has been cool. And I think. You're going to get me in touch with some guys too. And last week was hard. This episode is going to post tonight, actually.
Okay.
Because with the 4th of July, I was doing stuff and most of the people that I was going to interview were doing things. So I didn't. Well,
come on, slacker. Pick up the pace.
Yeah. I didn't have one pre-recorded for this week, but I'm actually recording again tomorrow. For next week's episode, so we'll be back on track. So just that holiday and in the middle of summer, you know, by us kind of having a good time. So
right.
But man, it's been a pleasure. I'm gonna get this out tonight, and I think the people are really gonna enjoy it.
Great. I enjoyed it too. Anything I can do to help you too, I'm happy to. I'm really glad you're doing this. So keep it up. This is the kind of outreach we need. To get our message out and so people can understand what we do.
Right. Well, I appreciate it again, and I'll stay in touch.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, man.
This segment is brought to you by Turfmen. Turfmen is a patch repair product developed by a former golf course superintendent, designed for professional turf managers and homeowners alike to fill in those bare spots or worn areas of turf. Turfmen helps you save time and money by using high-quality professional ingredients so you will never end up with weed seed in your repairs. Turfmen is now available in two different formulations. One with USGA specs saying peat moss and grass seed, or the second formulation, which has OMRI listed compost, peat moss, and grass seed. Turfmen is proudly sourced and blended in the USA. Repair the bear with Turfmen and go to www.turfmen.com for more information. That's www.turfmen.com, and make sure to reference Dirt on Turf when you place your order to get 10% off. Repair the bear with Turfmen. Well, that's it for today's episode. Again, I'm your host, Chris Toppings, with the Dirt on Turf podcast. And before we leave you, let me remind you about netting professionals. It doesn't matter what kind of netting you need, whether it's for a batting cage, a dugout, driving range, backstops, check out Netting Professionals. Go to their website, www.nettingpros.com, or follow them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You don't want to miss out with these people. Give them a call. Let them give you a price. They'll take care of you. Until next week, I'm Chris Toppings. We'll see you then.